Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to Luke? Luke, the second chapter, we'll begin in the beginning there. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And God blesses the reading of His Word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would speak to each individual heart. Father, that you would meet us at our point of greatest need and that you would lift us, Father, by the truth of what took place on that first Christmas day so long ago. Father, I ask that you would move us, that you would, Father, shake how we live, that we would honor you more and more day by day from this day forward. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the Christmas season, and there are many stories that go along with Christmas. Some reflect the hostile attitude that a lot of people have today. Charles Dickens wrote the story that highlighted an individual that just kind of hated everybody and hated the day and hated the thought of Christmas. And his attitude was an attitude that you kind of find a lot today. That attitude was wrapped up in one saying. That saying was, Bah humbug. How come it comes so easily off your tongues? It's just that attitude of negativity, that attitude that all is wrong, that nothing can be right. In this time of great joy, the truth is most of the world is not joyful. Most of the world does not understand or honor the truths that the Scripture reveals to us today. The power of the true Christmas story can be seen in what the world is doing to try to silence it. Cities have places that they reserve for menorahs and even the crescent of the Islamic faith. But when it comes to Christmas and what Christmas is about, they will light a tree, and often they'll call it a festival of lights or a lighting ceremony for the holiday tree, as it's called in most places today. They just can't go to the thought of Christmas. When it comes to a manger scene, when it comes to a scene that shows Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in a manger, for some reason, that's become a point of hostility. And so that has been banned from many public places. When I was just a lad of a boy, as my friend Bobby Wood was wont to say, I remember school being a little different. I remember growing up, and at Christmas time, there would be Christmas pageants in the school. I remember singing Christmas carols in the school. We sang, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Silent Night, Joy to the World. We sang of a Savior that had come, and we called His name Jesus right there in the schoolhouse. We read the Christmas story from God's Word. Now, in today's world, you can get by with talking about a season of love, and you can talk about a season of peace. But you can't tell how that love comes, and you can't tell what's behind bringing that peace. Today, you can elevate Kwanzaa, but you can't elevate Christ. Today, you can talk of Santa, but you can't talk about the Savior. The world really has a problem. We've touched on that during our Christmas series. You see, they really want to get rid of Christmas, but they can't afford to get rid of the Christmas season. More and more, you hear about the lights and about the time of lights, and they're substituting lights for Jesus. In the United States, Christmas is responsible for 25% of the retail sales in a year's time. Our nation would be in sore straits if it got rid of Christmas. On average, Americans spend a lot on gifts. I imagine most of you in this room have spent or have had someone spend money on you in this season. Maybe you haven't realized it yet. Maybe you'll realize it by Tuesday. I don't know. $781 billion in average spent on gifts. Not on mine, but on gifts. And if you're having a hard time thinking about what to buy, money's always good. $127 million came through on Cyber Monday alone. And, you know, the world would like to outlaw Christmas trees. They don't want holiday trees, light trees. Christmas trees, though, is a problem. And they'd like to outlaw it, but they have a problem on that because last year, Americans spent $1.6 billion on Christmas trees. You see, they want to quiet Christians, and they want to quiet the Christ, but they don't want to quiet the cash register. And there's a problem there. And so they have to kind of put up with us during this season because so much rest on the finances the season brings. Well, you know, we've done a lot of talking about the fact that there's too much commercialization of Christmas. May I tell you, the commercialization of Christmas is what has freed us to be able to celebrate Christmas still. And so I don't think the commercialization should ever be the thing, but I think we should actually understand that in this time in our history, it is helping us, not hurting us. And that's not unlike the first Christmas. The first Christmas had ties to finance. And in fact, had there not been ties to finance, the first Christmas would not have been Christmas. God used a pagan emperor and a tax. In 2:1 it says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. We have politicians with big egos today. That's not new. Caesar Augustus had a big ego. He ruled Rome from 31 BC to 15 AD. He had been Julius Caesar's nephew, his favorite nephew. when Julius Caesar was retired by the knives of his friends, the greatest threat for the throne was a guy by the name of Mark Antony. You may remember Antony and Cleopatra. Well, Antony and Cleopatra didn't work out, so Antony committed suicide. That left the throne open, and Augustus seized the moment. He declared himself ruler. He declared himself Caesar. He declared himself God. And there were temples built to him. And Herod the Great, by the way, in Israel, built several temples to Augustus. And there in Caesarea Philippi, there was a temple to Augustus. Augustus expanded the Roman Empire. He acquired men. He acquired an army. And then you had to pay for the army. Well, how do you do that? Well, you levy taxes. And so he levied taxes to fuel his army and his expansion of Rome. This pagan false god decided that it was time for a nationwide tax in Israel. It was a Christmas tax. He didn't know that, but that's what it was. You're going to see that everything that happens, happens for a reason. You're going to see that every moment that God puts into place, he puts into place in a particular order. Had things not happened exactly as they did, they would not have happened at all. Everything that we have in the Christmas story tells us God cares about everything that happens. God wants to seek God wants to seek hearts, and he wants to draw people to the truth. And that which happens at Christmas should draw you to the truth. Here we find a very special moment. In verses 4 and 5, "And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." On a first look, it might seem that this tax was a terrible inconvenience. Hey, I have found every tax to be a terrible inconvenience. Ask anybody around April 15th. They'll be able to tell you that taxes aren't comfortable. But taxes sometimes are necessary. This tax seemed to come at the worst possible time. In fact, several things seem to be going wrong for the young couple, Mary and Joseph. Now, taxes are never pleasant, but this is the most important tax ever levied in history. This tax called for a carpenter in Nazareth to leave Nazareth and go to Bethlehem. Now, an inconvenient time, yes. Joseph had accepted the responsibility for Mary and her unborn child. Joseph had to care for her. Now, she is in advanced pregnancy. She is past 8.5 months. In fact, she is at due time. When a person is expecting and they're at about 8.5 months, moving toward 9 months, you could honestly say she was very, very pregnant. There's no such thing as a little pregnant. She was very, very pregnant. And she was expecting the child at any moment. That is not a normal time that you say, "Hey, let's go on a trip." Her situation was that she had no family close by. There was no one she could stay with. That would have been the norm, by the way, for just the man to go, because it's the men that had to go and register for the census. But Joseph couldn't just leave her. So she would have to go with him. Really? You know, in the days leading up to our first child, my wife started limiting her travel. And I remember when we were going to the hospital when it was time for the baby to be born, and I remember just going across a railroad track. I remember I heard about that railroad track for about 3 years. There's no way to get there without going over it, but you had to do that. Think of Mary at the point of delivery having to go to Bethlehem from Nazareth. Doesn't sound like much to you. It's 80 miles. That's not far in today's world, but that's a 3-day journey in their world. Hey, there's not a lot of shock absorbers on the back of a donkey. And that was only for the time that she did not have to walk. If she had had family, Joseph would have left her. What would that mean? Well, that would have meant that the baby would have been born in Nazareth. If they had gotten word of the tax a day later, the baby would have been born on the trail. Think about it. The next time you think God doesn't care about the details of your life, think about the details. God is really in the details. Augustus is deciding there should be a tax. Where does he decide that? Well, he decides it in Rome. Where is Rome? 800 miles away. And so news of that tax has to get to Israel. How does it get there? Well, there would be envoys that would be sent. They would go by boat. The travel was arduous. Anything could happen along the way. And that boat would arrive at Caesarea. Caesarea on the Mediterranean coast. A beautiful, beautiful city built by Herod to honor Caesar. And that was the main place that the Roman government would be. And so that's where the first news of the tax would come. And so it would get to Caesarea, but then it has to get to all over the nation. How does it get there? They would send runners. Now, when we talk about runners, we don't mean runners, but when they said runners, they meant runners. People that would run the news, and they would run the news to every little hamlet, every little village, every little place, all across the land of Israel. Had Joseph gotten the word in Nazareth a day later or a day earlier, it would have changed the time or the place where Mary would have the child. The sea trip could have gone bad. There could have been a storm along the way. Everything had to happen. Everything had to be spaced out. Everything had to be timed. I am telling you, God cares about the details of life. God cares about the details of your life. That's one of the reasons when God says that it's important for His children to worship together, it is important for you to show up for worship. You might want to tell the folks that didn't do that. I mean, I'm glad you're here, and it's important that you're here. Why does God tell us to show up for worship? Because we need His Word. And what we get from His Word equips us for what we're going to face in the coming days. If you don't show up, you might just miss what God had for you to hear in order to be able to deal with what you're going to have to deal with out there in the world. God cares about details. God gives you what you need to know so that you will know what you need. But if you don't show up to hear it, you miss it and you're ill-equipped. God is in every moment of this story. God is moving. God is timing. God is getting everything in place. And you may think, well, what's the big deal? Mary could have just had the kid
in Nazareth. The big deal is God put out over 300 prophecies that told of the Messiah being born, of the Messiah coming, of how the Messiah would come, of where the Messiah would come. It could not be in a different place and be the Messiah. Had Jesus not been born in Bethlehem, he would not fulfill prophecy. If he did not fulfill prophecy, he would not be the Savior. When God laid out the prophecies, he laid them out so people would not have to wonder, well, I wonder when the Messiah will come. No, you follow the signs. If the signs come into place, you know when the Messiah will come. Those prophecies told who the Messiah would be, where the Messiah would be born. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, though you may be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth has been from old, from everlasting. Think of the things. The timing of the ruling of Augustus for there to be a tax and a census. He could have called for a tax and not a census. But he wanted to get every dollar he could. So he wanted a tax and a census. A census had to be recorded by you going to your birthplace. So here is Joseph. His birthplace is the city of David. And so he would have to go there. Had he not gone, Jesus could not be the Messiah. The baby would not have been in Bethlehem, and had the baby not been born in Bethlehem, he would not have fulfilled prophecy. If he did not fulfill prophecy, he would not be according to God's word. If he was not according to God's word, he could not be the Messiah. We would not have a Savior. You see, God's moves are not accidental. God's moves are for a purpose. God's moves are in a plan. Don't miss God's move in your life. Don't miss what God has for you and what God desires for you. Special moments are not always convenient. I've had people tell me of why they can't come to church. I've had people tell me all kinds of things why they can't come to church. Some people can't come to church because they were out too late the night before church. Well, either get up with a little sleep or get in a little earlier. You know, there are ways to fix that. I've had people tell me they can't come to church. I had one lady tell me she couldn't come to church because she was too fat. I told her our chairs joined together. And we want a bigger church anyway, so come on, you know. Can't come to church because I don't have anything to wear. Well, they had clothes on when I was talking to them. And so, you know, we're not big on what you wear. We just want you to show up. You see, lose the excuses. Start following God's purpose and do what he says. Now, they made the trip to Bethlehem. But like many men, Joseph didn't make reservations. So they get there and there is no room. Now, actually, we know the inn. The inn was not a hidden thing. It was called Chinham's Inn. It was built by a follower of King David. We know that because it was a place recorded in the Bible. It was stayed in by Jeremiah in 2 Samuel 19, Jeremiah 41. Because of the tax, Bethlehem is a little city. And so there was only one inn, and because of the tax, the inn was full. It was full of mostly men because women didn't make this trip. In fact, if you follow the story, you don't see any women helping Mary in the process. And the reason is probably because there were no women around. Men made the journey. Men filled the inn. And yes, Jesus was laid in a manger. Now, we say he was born in a manger. He really wasn't born in a manger. He was laid in a manger after he was born. A manger is actually a feeding trough. And so they laid him in that feeding trough after his birth. You know, visiting Bethlehem really opens your eyes to a lot of things, and it was a blessing to be able to go, and you begin to realize our view of the manger is a little lean-to somewhere out in the field, but truthfully, the manger was more than likely a little cave, because that's where they housed their animals in that area, and you can go to the grotto, you can go to the cave today where we believe Jesus was born. We know the place because that's where the inn would have been, is in that area, and so that was the place where they kept the animals, and so it would have been a likely place. There, Joseph ended up in the shed with Mary. And you know, there's a bad guy in this story. Everybody likes a bad guy in a story. And so, you know, who is the bad guy? The innkeeper. Evil innkeeper. What a bad, bad guy. How many of you have read about the innkeeper in the Bible? You haven't, because he's not in the Bible. There is no innkeeper in the story. Innkeeper is never mentioned, not once. A whole lot of plays. Likelihood is that an innkeeper was never spoken to. It was just known that the facilities were taken, and so Joseph found a place where he could, and he found a place in the stable, which was in a cave. Now, before you get all over Joseph for this, understand that may not be a great place, but it's better than being out in the open, which is where they had been in their journey for the last 3 days. I am amazed at the strength of Mary. Now, being a dad, like most dads, I understand to always say, I don't know anything about birthing babies, and whatever women do in birthing babies is far more than I could ever do as a man, and I am thankful God gave that to you. And, you know, I understand that. But you know, some women go through more difficulty than other women in that process. Think of this. Mary had the child in a cave by herself. She wrapped the baby by herself, and she laid the baby in the manger. And you will say, well, Joseph was there to help. Yeah. He was. And I'm sure he did. But whatever he did pales in what Mary did. And so she was incredibly strong. Wow, incredibly dedicated. And this is after traveling for 3 days to get there. This special moment was the fulfillment of what Joseph and Mary had been told by the angel Gabriel. The virgin shall give birth. It's foretold in the book of Isaiah. And it was only through the miracle birth that Jesus could be born. All God, yet all man. Born of a virgin so that he would not have a sin nature, because if he had a sin nature, he would sin. If he sinned, he could not be our Savior. He could not give himself a sacrifice for our sins. What a special moment. Jesus born in Bethlehem. There's a shocking message. Now, there were shepherds in the field. The field is not far from Bethlehem. It's not in the city, but close to the city. And by the way, this is very close to Jerusalem, and it's about 4 miles away from Jerusalem. Why is it so close? Well, they would tend the sheep. The sheep would be used in the temple as a sacrifice. And so they had to be close, but not in the city itself. And so they were in the field outside of Bethlehem, and they were tending the sheep. And while they tended the sheep, an angel appeared unto them. In verse 10 it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, shepherds were low on the totem pole. They were the last down and outers. They were the people that you just didn't associate with a great deal. And the shepherds are there. They work through the night. They were unclean. They tended the sheep that were used in the sacrifice in the temple, but they weren't allowed to go in the temple because they were considered unclean. And so they tended the sheep, and they tended the sheep close by, and those sheep would be used in sacrifice. The angel brought the shocking news to these men, of all people, that the Christ would be born. The Messiah had come. They had been producing Passover lambs. And the angels came to say, God's Passover lamb has been born. Now, in a very kind way, the angel may have come to them first to say, you're fired. Their purpose was going to be gone. Because Jesus would be the ultimate sacrifice once for all. In John 3:16, we find, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came for everybody, even a bunch of grungy shepherds. And the angel, by the angel going to the lowest of the low, as far as society was concerned, he was letting it know that this Messiah was coming for everybody, including me and including you. The angel says, fear not. Jesus is the one that takes the fear out. Jesus takes the fear away from death. In verse 10, it says, this is God's good news for all people. You know, Jesus didn't come for a select few. He came for everybody. That's why we welcome everybody. We want to reach out to everybody, and we are thankful that everybody comes, and I'm so thankful that you're here. Then with the angels, there were other angels. There were a bunch of angels. And all these angels were praising God and magnifying the fact that the Savior had come. Now the shepherds are left in the field. The angels are gone. What are they going to do? You can imagine them being interviewed, and someone says, you've just heard from a chorus of angels that the Messiah has come and is born in Bethlehem. What are you going to do now? And they say, we're going to Disneyland. No, they say, we're going to Bethlehem. We get to go see for ourselves. And there is a sign left for us. What was the sign? You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's the sign. Well, that doesn't sound like much of a sign, but let me tell you, there weren't any other babies lying in a manger. That's not where you normally put a baby. And so they were able to go to the place. They didn't have a problem finding the place. It was near the inn. It was the place where animals were kept. It was where the angel sent them. They went to where the manger was, and there was a baby there, and it couldn't be just any baby. It had to be the baby. It had to be the Messiah that God had foretold. What a shocking message. The Savior had been born. And this is a shared miracle. In verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should tell someone. You should share the miracle. God cared enough to get you the message that will save your soul. You should share the miracle. There's no way that me and in my sinful life would ever deserve to go into God's heaven. There is no way for me to believe that God would forgive me. There is no way for me to expect that God would even care about me. But Jesus got me the message. Someone shared the miracle with me. How can I not share it with others? The Bible says they shared it abroad. That means they told the news to everybody they knew, but they told the news to everybody they came in contact with. That means we should go out and we should tell the news. We should be challenging people. People say, well, you should not proselyte. Well, let me tell you, we are in the proselyting business. We are in a world commanded by God to go out and tell people about a God who loves them so much that he sent his own son to be born in Bethlehem, but not just to stay in Bethlehem, to live and die on a cruel cross for their sin and for our sin. And if you will receive him as your Savior, he will save your soul. Share the miracle. If you believe the miracle of Christmas, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, commit yourself that in this coming year you will not be the same. You will get the word out. Think of it. Mary pondered these things. She kept them in her heart. The shepherds came, and later wise men would come, and she hid these things in her heart, and she kept them silent until one day Dr. Luke came knocking at her door. And she shared the miracle. She told him about how an angel had come to her and told her that she had been chosen to bear the Christ child. She told him, the angel didn't just come to me, he came to my cousin Elizabeth. She was over 80 years old and God allowed her to have a baby. That miracle gave me, Mary said, strength and courage that God would work the miracle of a miracle child in me, that I might have a child without ever having sex, that I might have a child born of God. The Messiah would come and I would be the mother. When she was about to deliver, there was news of the tax, and Joseph comes home and says, we've got to travel to Bethlehem. And she didn't know how she was going to make it. She could barely move. I mean, for her at this stage, walking was more waddling than walking. And you're talking about 80 miles. Joseph, I don't know that I can do it, but if it's what God desires, we'll do it. And then we get there and there's no rooms, and we get to stay in a stable, and there's a roof over our heads, and God's provided. And the baby comes. He's so perfect. His name is Jesus. Mary said earlier, I rejoice in God my Savior. This Jesus would be Mary's Savior and be your Savior if you will accept him. Angels came. Then shepherds came and visited us, and the shepherds, they knew about the child. And then others came, and all left news that we should praise God, for he has provided a Savior. Mary shared the miracle. Have you received the miracle? Christmas is just a neat story unless you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus didn't stay in the manger. No, he lived a life of perfection. He went to Calvary's cross where he suffered, bled, and died for your sins and mine. He was taken and placed in a tomb that he did not stay in. In 3 days, he rose from the dead. And today he is alive and he wants to live in your heart. And all you have to do to be forgiven, all you have to do to be saved, all you have to do to have Jesus is to invite him to be your Savior. In just a moment, we'll be here at the altar. Just come forward and say, I want Jesus. Today, Jesus can come into your heart and you'll know the miracle of Christmas in your own life. If you've already made that decision but you need a church home, we'd love for this to be your church home. If you just need to commit yourself anew, to share the miracle. Perhaps you just want to come to the altar and pray. God has brought us a Christmas miracle, and we need to share the news. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Father, the opportunity to think again about the wonders that you brought about in the birth of Christ, that we might come to know you, that we might be forgiven, that we might have a Savior. And Father, you got us here today at Northside Baptist Church so we would be able to think about that message that you have given, the Savior that you provided. And so now it's up to us to make a choice. Father, if anyone is in this room that doesn't know you, I pray, God, that they would be willing to say, I want Jesus. Father, for those that need a church home, that they would be willing to say, Father, that I believe God's led me here. Father, for those that just need to make a new commitment to you, that they would be willing to say, Father, whatever you want, I want to share the miracle. Bless now this time of decision. Call us, Father, to your altar. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.